Today, Representative Peter King of New York begins hearings on the radicalization of Muslims in America. This morning, we're going to take a look at one area in which Muslim Americans feel they are unfairly stereotyped. It happens at border crossings. Border agents ask them about their religion, where they pray, and their political views. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston has the story.
Kathy Jamil is the principal of an Islamic school in Buffalo, New York. Jamil is Muslim, and she wears a headscarf. Because of where she lives, she crosses into Canada and back frequently. And lately, that's meant U.S. immigration officials peppering her with questions. She offered to show me what happens. So we went to Niagara Falls, spent a few hours in Canada, and then came back. We approached the U.S. border at Rainbow Bridge. An agent from Customs and Border Protection was sitting in what looks like a little toll booth.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing? Thank you.
Are you both U.S.?
Yeah. Yes.
He asked me to remove my sunglasses, and he peered into the car. I was wearing a headscarf, and so was Kathy Jamil. He asked why we'd been to Canada.
She's visiting, so figured I'd take her over.
I said I was working on a story about a notorious murder involving two local Muslims. It had been the talk of Buffalo. He asked Jamil if she was related to the murderer.
I work with a domestic violence organization.
Yeah?
And so we were just talking about, that issue.
As we drove across the border, Jamil said the question about being related to the murderer went too far. Border agents are having to strike a delicate balance. As they see it, agents have about 45 seconds to a minute to decide whether someone might be a threat. The concern is that those quick assessments often seem driven by stereotypes. It's a common refrain.
Well, I was returning from a brief vacation with my family over the winter break.
That's Samer Shahada, a professor of Middle East Studies at Georgetown University. He ran into trouble at Customs in Florida this past January. He was returning to the U.S. with his wife and son from a vacation in Cancun.
After she, looked at our passports and did her computer work, she asked us to follow her, which was something I hadn't experienced before.
Shahada and his family were taken into a secondary screening room. 40 minutes ticked by. Shahada started worrying about missing his connecting flight.
Then a few minutes afterwards, I was summoned to speak to the supervisor of Homeland Security at the Fort Lauderdale Airport.
And so what did he ask you?
Well, it wasn't so much asking. It was really an interrogation.
The agents asked Shahada about his parents, what he studied in college, where he went to college. Shahada suggested the supervisor look up his resume on the Georgetown University website. Then, he says, the interview took a bizarre turn.
After he asked me what I teach at Georgetown University, and my response was Middle East politics, he asked, who's going to win?
Who's going to win? The Muslims or the Americans? The Israelis or the Palestinians? Shahada said he wasn't sure what the question meant. Finally, after nearly 2 hours, Shahada got his U.S. passport back.
And at the end of the interview, he told me that the reason I was summoned or taken for this security measures was because of my, quote, location of birth.
What does that mean?
I was born in Egypt, and I think it was on that basis that they decided to interrogate me.
No, I don't know all the particulars of that particular case, Dina, to be honest with you.
That's Thomas Winkowski. He's in charge of field operations for U.S. Customs and Border Protection. I asked him if origin of birth was enough of a reason to pull someone out of the immigration line, which is what happened to Professor Shahada.
Most likely just origin of birth without other factors, probably not. The line that we don't cross is that we're improperly taking into consideration individuals' race and religion and the like. I mean, to me, that's a boundary. That's the line.
That's the line. But the line sometimes gets blurred. Customs and Border Protection agents will tell you that their job depends on flexibility, on trusting their gut. They ask questions. A hint of deception gives them license to drill down. The question is, when does discretion lead to abuse?
The difference here is between routine and non-routine questions.
Hina Shemsi is the executive director of the ACLU's National Security Project. She says that the ACLU regularly receives complaints from Muslims who say they are asked inappropriate questions simply because of their religion.
We all agree that the government has an obligation to protect us and protect the borders, and that it has the right to ask people questions about their identity, to verify their citizenship and their legal status.
What the government can't do, she says, is ask about religion absent some suspicion of wrongdoing. She says religious freedom is protected by the First Amendment. Lawrence Ho was asked about his religion anyway.
I'm a resident of New Jersey. I work in Edgewater as a operations manager for a shipping company, and I've been Muslim for about 5 years.
Lawrence Ho is an ethnic Chinese. He has a Fu Manchu beard and is dressed in jeans and a hoodie. Agents stopped him at the border 2 years ago, at the same bridge near Niagara Falls that Jamil and I had crossed. The agents started with routine questions.
But then, out of nowhere, they asked me, when did you convert? Which I was taken aback because that had nothing to do with the reason why I felt I was there.
But you're Chinese, so how would they have possibly known you had converted or that you were Muslim?
I don't know, and I think that's the reason why I was very taken aback. I don't really have a large beard or, you know, I don't really dress in typical, I guess, what you would call, quote-unquote, Islamic garb.
It wasn't just the delay at the border that bothered Ho. There was an incident that he found particularly off-putting. One of the agents kept hitting the button on the key fob that made the car chirp and flash its headlights. It's the feature that helps you find a car in a parking lot.
When the Customs and Border Protection was walking in, another agent said, why do you keep hitting that button? And he said, just to see if it'll blow up.
I asked Assistant Commissioner Winkowski whether a joke about a bomb suggests that the guidelines at the border allow too much discretion.
My understanding is that that's an allegation, and that if that allegation is true, I believe that's inappropriate. I understand the sensitivities here, and I understand that at times we get into some areas that are very, very sensitive, and I can appreciate how they feel.
Professor Shahada of Georgetown explained how he felt.
For the first time in my life, I felt that my, you know, status in the United States was tenuous, even though I've lived in this country for, you know, decades, since I was, I think, 5 or 6 years old.
Lived here as a U.S. citizen, a Muslim American who has experienced the very real tension between protecting borders and safeguarding an individual's rights. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.